This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Liz Cheney sucks. We'll make fun of her briefly. We'll talk to Don Jr. about that tonight. We have to have a reckoning for COVID. We have even more new stuff. I feel like that's a daily occurrence. All that, Brian Dean Wright and more coming up on I'm Right. Ouch. Liz Cheney's gone. We're going to take a minute and smile about that. Liz Cheney is a detestable human being. The whole Bush-Cheney cabal thing, they're all detestable. She got massacred, by the way. 37 points, the fourth biggest blowout since 1968. It's a massacring. And no one deserves it more. No one deserves it more, not because she doesn't like Trump. It's a free country. You cannot like Trump. It's because she's made that her entire identity. She stopped caring about the right, stopped caring about Wyoming, stopped caring about anything, and it just became this personal axe to grind between the Bush-Cheney faction and the Trump faction. And it's been so horrible and unhelpful for the country and unhelpful to the right and wrong. Remember when the Bushes came out and said, the dad, Bush Senior, came out and said he voted for Hillary, and the youngest said, I'm not telling you who I voted for? How is that helping anybody? This whole Cheney thing, the Cheney family, the Bush-Cheney thing, bye. And someone said last night, I think it was Election Wizard, if I remember right, that Trump has now ended the Clinton dynasty, the Bush dynasty, and the Cheney dynasty. If he never does anything else good in his life, that's something real, real, real nice to have on his resume. But back to Cheney. Again, even on her concession speech, where she just got blown out of the water, it all had to be about Donald Trump.
2 years ago, I won this primary with 73% of the vote. I could easily have done the same again. The path was clear, but it would have required that I go along with President Trump's lie about the 2020 election. That was a path I could not and would not take. The great and original champion of our party, Abraham Lincoln, was defeated in elections for the Senate and the House before he won the most important election of all. Lincoln ultimately prevailed. He saved our Union. And he defined our obligation as Americans for all of history.
Joining me now, Donald Trump Jr., founder of Minute by Minute News. Okay, Donald, explain this to me, because I've always found it to be odd. All right, Liz Cheney doesn't like your dad. Okay. But this never-ending quest to get rid of him by the Bush-Cheney cabal has always been so weird to me. Where does this axe to grind come from? I've never gotten it.
Yeah, I don't really know, but I imagine it's like the rest of sort of the Washington establishment. You know, they see Trump as the only real threat to the hegemony that they've had for decades now. And you look at that dynasty and, you know, Liz Cheney, she can lose by 40 points and she can then liken herself to both Lincoln and Grant, which is truly a level of hubris I haven't seen in a while, Jesse. I'm not quite sure where she gets this, but, you know, it doesn't stop them. It doesn't stop them. But I guess that's what happens when you sort of listen to CNN and their version of what it is to be a Republican. I guess she starts believing those things and thinking she's an incredible conservative. And since she hasn't lived in Wyoming in probably ever, maybe that's why she could lose so badly in her supposed home state.
Just so everyone knows, I know Donald Jr. knows this, but a non-interventionist foreign policy is what the entire country was founded on, right? So it's very odd, this Bush-Cheney people claiming that their way is the American way. It's very much not the American way, but she did have something interesting to say about a possible run for president, and once I got done laughing, I actually got concerned something. This was her.
Are you considering running for president yourself?
I will be doing whatever it takes to keep Donald Trump out of the Oval Office.
Well, I know you didn't say yes or no, and that's fine if you're thinking about it, but are you thinking about it? Are you thinking about running for president?
That's a decision that I'm going to make in the coming months, Savannah. I'm not going to make any announcements here this morning, but it is something that I'm thinking about, and I'll make a decision in the coming months.
I actually don't know which one of those two hags I hate more, but beyond that, it did concern me because, look, I'm not worried that Liz Cheney's going to beat your dad in a primary. That's obviously not a concern that you probably have either. I am, however, worried these people are going to take this personal axe to grind and raise $200-300 million and just spend every dime of it trying to kneecap your father as he makes another run if he ends up making one. Did that cross your mind?
Yeah, listen, I think it's sort of the perpetual grift of that. You know, she's sort of simultaneously auctioning for the fake conservative role at CNN while simultaneously looking for the board seat at Raytheon. And then she can follow the path of Joe Walsh for the Joe Walsh lane for the Republican nomination for the presidency. I mean, it is one big grift. I think the reality, you know, she's so... so unlikable. There's so few Republicans that would actually vote for her. I think she likely, if she actually went and tried to run as an independent, probably draws more votes from a Joe Biden than she actually would a Donald Trump because she's so far away from the Republican side. So the whole notion of her being sort of a spoiler actually doesn't really concern me all that much, and I have thought about it.
Don, surely you're not under the impression Joe Biden's going to be standing for re-election. Did you see him yesterday after he signed that bill? His mouth was hanging open. He looked like he was about to fall off the chair. This guy's not running again.
The handshake to nowhere, Jesse. I was fact-checked for that one. They said that he was pointing to the crowd with an open hand. I was like, he was looking behind. Like, I don't know where they get this, but I was fact-checked nonetheless. But no, I think it's this, Jesse. What we've seen, and I think what people are starting to realize, are the policies that the Democrats are implementing are actually not Joe Biden's policies. Whoever's making it, whether it's Obama or Susan Rice or, you know, one of the other radical clowns, what the American public is suffering through right now is actual Democrat policy. They're doing all of the things they said they were going to do. No one actually believes that that's Joe Biden. So I think that will continue to translate. People will continue to wake up. And so I think there is the lane for Joe Biden, which is the Democrats realize they've done so much damage to the American middle class, to the American working class, to the American energy sector, to American foreign policy and everything else that they're destroying, that they basically run Joe Biden as cannon fodder so that they can preserve some of their upstanding and incredibly qualified candidates for a future day. Those candidates being, you know, the wonderful and incredibly articulate Kamala Harris, you know, Mayor Pete, you know, incredible mayor, absentee mayor now, doing a wonderful job, you know, on paternity leave, where they have no bench either. So I could see them sort of not wanting to sacrifice one of their wonderful upstanding candidates to run against a Donald Trump and just basically throw Joe Biden in there as cannon fodder or as a lost leader, just understanding that the American people see through their nonsense. But you never know.
I do have to thank Mayor Pete, though. He did give us one of the great campaign moments of all time when he was falling behind with black voters and got with a bunch of black guys and drank a 40 out of a brown paper bag. That's real, people. You can look that up in case you've forgotten about it. I've never laughed that hard in my entire life. I do have to hit, obviously, the raid with you. I know how angry I am, but it was your father. I can imagine how angry you are. I think this is sadly crossing a line I don't know that we ever come back from, but I don't want to put words in your mouth. What do you have to say about it?
Well, listen, I have a lot to say about it. The problem is I've gotten sort of numb to this crap. I'm so used to it at this point. I probably don't even have the normal response. But, you know, I understand they needed 30 agents to raid his house, even though he'd been cooperating with them and said, hey, whatever you need, come do it. I understand they needed the hostage rescue team, the HRT, the SEAL teams of federal law enforcement, Jesse, because I believe someone testified before the sham January 6th committee a few weeks ago that Donald Trump single-handedly at the age of 75, I guess, choked out two Secret Service agents who were young, fit, and heavily armed. So they needed the HR team, the hostage rescue team, to make sure that they could take out any opposing force that Donald Trump would show, even though he was out of state. It's a joke, Jesse. And then they do what they usually do. They get on TV, they say they want transparency. So my father actually releases the warrant and says they should release the affidavit. So they say it on TV, and then they're like, no, we can't actually do that. We just say we want transparency. We don't do anything to actually create transparency. Then Chris Wray can get on TV and say, how dare anyone question the integrity of the FBI when for 6 years we've been watching agents sign faulty affidavit warrants, lie under oath. You have Peter Strzok and Andy McCabe getting on TV talking about character despite losing their jobs for lying. You have the FBI entrapping a bunch of meth heads in Michigan to create a fake kidnap plot for Gretchen Whitmer. No, but the FBI, the utmost integrity, Jesse, we should not question that. You then see the narrative. They go, there's a narrative, people are trying to say that maybe the FBI would be planting evidence because they didn't want Trump's lawyers to be there. I don't know. Like, seems like something they'd actually do based on everything we've seen for the last 6 years. I'm not saying they did it, but it wouldn't surprise me, especially when they're saying they don't want any attorneys present. They want to turn off the closed circuit TV. It's like, why? If I'm doing something that's totally above board, wouldn't you want opposing counsel there to basically be like, show me where I'm doing something wrong? Like, wouldn't you want them present to be able to back up your actions and say that you did everything in an above board manner? But of course they don't want that. So what they do is the usual. You know, they leak little bits to their useful idiots in the mainstream media. You know, like the Nora O'Donnell, when they confiscate my father's passports, picture books. Like, they say it's a very specific warrant for real things, but then they confiscate everything because it really wasn't. It's very broad, but they'll get the mainstream media to say that it wasn't. Nora O'Donnell will say they didn't confiscate the passports, but if she had taken like a second and a half to call someone on our side, we would have shown her the emails. Like, but she didn't. She found something that was useful to perpetuate the narrative that she would love to have, which is the Democrat media narrative, and you know, gets caught. That original tweet, now 48 hours later, is still up. Because it's generating clickbait, people are linking to it, they're still writing stories about it, so God forbid we take down misinformation, she won't get fact-checked by Twitter or Facebook or anything like that because she's on the home team. She can say whatever she wants. The truth be damned. We've seen this too many times, Jesse, and it's getting disgusting.
Yeah, no, it's way past disgusting. Don Jr., thank you so much, man. I appreciate you.
My pleasure, man. Have a good one.
All right. We still have a ton. We have Brian Dean Wright, COVID reckoning. We have to have all that and much, much more. Before we do any of that, we talk a lot now about how do we deal with all this crap, with all the things going wrong, and we get frantic sometimes, don't you? Don't you get on the verge of, oh, it's hopeless? Look, sometimes I do. I have my moments too where I wake up in the morning and I look at my phone and I just think, forget it. No. Let's just make sure we focus more on ourselves now. Ourselves, our family, our neighbors, our health. Fellas, testosterone levels are half of what they were 50 years ago. Half. A lot of that's not your fault. Estrogens in the plastics, estrogens in the waters. It's just we have to be more diligent now. Ladies, you have to be diligent about your health. Go to CHOQ. all natural herbal supplements, not chemical big pharma filth. Natural herbal supplements, a hardcore anti-communist company. Fellas, go get the male vitality stack, 20% increase in your testosterone in 90 days. Ladies, female vitality stack, let's get better. CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse gets you 30% off the entire store. Chalk.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB in the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
That was Joe Biden. Looking around for Joe Manchin after he signed the horrendous Inflation Reduction Act, they're still calling it. You have to admire the, what's that word, chutzpah? You have to admire the gall of these people. Maybe I'll just stick with gall. You do have to admire signing a $430 billion spending bill into law, one massive handout to the green energy cabal, and adding a bunch of people in the IRS to attack you and calling it the Inflation Reduction Act. It's yet another example, right? I mean, there have been 1,000 of these, but it's yet another example of just how much these people freaking despise you and disrespect you. That's really what it is when you think about it. Okay, they're politicians. Politicians lie about things, I get that. But when you can do bills like this and call them the Inflation Reduction Act, what it really shows is you as president, you as Democrats, you look out at a sea of people, of the American people, and you have no respect for them whatsoever, none at all. Joe Manchin, he has gotten by being that blue dog for a while. Just a little brief history, pause real quick. West Virginia was a reliably blue state for much of my life. And then Barack Obama, the horrific communist who really was the author of everything you're seeing now, Barack Obama got elected, promptly began attacking coal. He did attack coal a lot. West Virginia runs on coal. Now West Virginia is one of the redder states in the entire union. They all went red. So Joe Manchin has had to do this song and dance thing. Well, I'm just an old blue dog Democrat, guys. I'm just a moderate, guys. And I remember it was only like 15 minutes ago. Everyone on the right was kissing this guy's rear end. Oh, Joe Manchin, praise God for Joe Manchin. Here's Joe Manchin coming out saying, it doesn't reduce inflation. I lied.
The name that I came up with was the Inflation Reduction Act.
When it comes to inflation, is it misleading to call this the Inflation Reduction Act for Americans when it's not going to make their grocery bill cheaper? It's not going to make everyday goods cheaper for them.
Why would it? Well, immediately it's not, but I mean, we never seen anything happen immediately like today. It's turned the switch on and off.
How much longer will high inflation persist?
Well, I don't have that crystal ball, but I can tell you one thing. It's not going to be overnight that we're out of this. Okay, so I don't think that anytime soon, for me to put a year or two or 3 year, it'd just be guessing. But it's not going to happen in the next 2, 3, 4 months.
What? You'd just be guessing? You just signed a $400+ billion bill of our money into law and called it the Inflation Reduction Act, the name you came up with, and you don't have any idea when it's going to reduce inflation? And not only that, you felt totally comfortable admitting that on camera? It's the Inflation Reduction Act. Okay, well, when's it gonna reduce inflation? Well, it's gonna take some time, but certainly not overnight. I mean, a year, two, three, I really have no idea. Talk about disrespect. Talk about how little they think of you. How little they think of me. We really are low-life, stupid scum in the eyes of these people. Always remember how they look at you. And you should look at them the exact same way, by the way. So Joe Manchin came up with the name Inflation Reduction Act. Very clearly was lying, has no idea how it could ever reduce inflation. But he's going to make sure those IRS agents aren't coming after you.
We're going to follow all the way through. I'm going to follow to make sure the IRS doesn't harass anybody. And I would encourage all of my political friends to make sure their staffs are in contact with the IRS.
Oh, I'm sure he's going to make sure. Absolutely. I mean, the IRS certainly didn't waste any time. They're already putting out recruiting videos showing a bunch of tubbies in body armor and weapons arresting people. I would love to hear exactly what the plan is to have Wheelchair Boy there go take down tax cheats. But either way, they're going to be armed. They're going to have body armor, and there's 87,000 of them, and they're coming after you. And look, obviously Joe Biden is still lying about this, saying no one under 400,000 is going to get any kind of a tax increase.
And I'm keeping my campaign commitment. No one, let me emphasize, no one earning less than $400,000 a year will pay a penny more in federal taxes.
We have had Joe Biden as president almost 2 years now. One thing you can reliably take to the bank is whenever he does that voice raise thing, that's when you know he's telling the worst of his lies. That's always been the case. 2 years now, that's what's happening. But I want to go back to the IRS agent. I want to go back to Roller Boy. Mr. Producer, go ahead and play that little video again while I talk. I want you to keep in mind something. They are raising your taxes. Even the Congressional Budget Office says so. $20 billion. That's how much the middle class is going to get pillaged with this thing. But remember something. Remember, as you look at all those tubbies there, remember this. It's not about your money. If you think they're after your money, you're not understanding the level of the threat that you're up against here. These people don't care about money. They've been spending money we don't have forever. Billions here, billions there, trillion here. It's not about the money. They don't care about revenue. They don't care about deficits, debts. This is about punishment. They want to send those people to your door to punish you. For what? For being their political enemies. Remember, every single thing you see right now, really in the West completely, but just focus on America, every single thing you see is the communists turning you into an enemy of the state so they can justify sending state power to crush you. Everything you see, IRS, FBI, all of it, it's all done with that in mind. And remember who they tell you to hate? How many people have come along who they have told you you need to hate, right? It's whatever new right-wing firebrand is out there. Right now you hear Lauren Boebert a lot, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Matt Gaetz. These people are crazy. Ah, you should hate them. Hey, what's your opinion on them? They even get half the right-wing pundits in on this. Oh, I'm not comfortable with Marjorie Taylor Greene. Why can't all my hate be reserved for the people who pass a $430 billion bill of my money and hand it out to green energy companies and then step up to the microphone and blame us for catering to special interests?
The American people won and the special interests lost. The American people won and the special interests lost.
Who benefits from this bill? AT&T, Micron, American Clean Power Association, and Pfizer. Special interests indeed, no? All right, we got more. Brian Dean Wright is going to outline a few things for us, as he often does next. Before we get to Brian, I want you to do me a favor and make sure you're healthier. Lots of ways to make sure you're healthier. Not that I'm some fitness expert. Got to eat better, right? Drink more water, get better sleep, work out more. What about the air you breathe? How's your air? What have you done about the air inside of your home, the air inside of your office? Go to EdenPureDeals.com. You'll get Eden Pure Thunderstorms, a three-pack of them. They're like a miracle. You will smell it. You'll be able to taste it in your air, how much cleaner your air is, because it's constantly cleaning out your home. You never even have to replace a filter. These things are little miracles. Promo code Jesse gets you $200 off a three-pack. EdenPureDeals.com, promo code Jesse. We'll be back.
Today, too often, we confuse noise with substance. Too often, we confuse setbacks with defeat. Too often, we hand the biggest microphones to the critics and the cynics who delight in declaring failure, while those committed to making real progress do the hard work of governing.
I love how he actually, he just climbed Everest. Joining me now, my friend Brian Dean Wright of the great President's Daily Brief podcast. Get updated on everything in less than 20 minutes every day. It's my number one go-to I subscribe to. Brian, okay, there's already problems with the spending bill. The thing's been into law like 12 hours. What's the problem?
Yeah, well, we have a slave labor issue, my friend. So obviously one of the big pieces or components of this bill is we are encouraging renewable energy. A big component of that is, of course, solar. So where do those solar panels come from? Well, we know that most of them come from China, not just to this country, but all around the world. Most people get their solar panels from China. Well, now that's a problem because those panels are made in a region in western and northern parts of the country of China where slave labor puts them together. They also pick a bunch of Chinese cotton, by the way. But the point is that solar panels in China almost exclusively are made by people who are not doing it because they want to. They're being told that they have to do it. Plus, a lot of the minerals that go into these solar panels, some of the materials, are also from people who are engaged in slave labor. They're being told by the regime that they've got to do it. So that has meant that a law that the United States has on the book says, hey, we're not going to take any of this stuff that's made by slave labor. So it's coming into our ports, these Chinese solar panels, and custom officials are saying, hey, you got to prove that this is not made by these people. The Uyghur people is their name. It's the ethnic group involved here. Well, the suppliers can't promise that. They don't have the proper paperwork. So you got all these solar panels building up in warehouses and ports, and that's delaying a whole bunch of solar farms. So we're not going to have any of these farms built because these solar panels are made by slave labor.
Brian, maybe this is a really stupid question, but you're used to that by now when you talk to me. Where exactly are the solar farms going?
Well, throughout the United States, we have all kinds of permitted solar farms. Certainly, we've seen them all the way from Hawaii down to Florida, but you're even seeing them up north in places like Michigan and Vermont. But the issue is, how quickly can we build these, the permitting process? So that will take some degree of time. But if the actual panels themselves aren't going to be able to come into the country, well, that's going to push you years behind schedule. Why that's important? Well, if you're shutting down coal and your nuclear plants before you've built out the capacity of this renewable stuff, well, you're going to have blackouts. And that's what we're actually seeing in some places in the world. It's not very smart policy.
All right, Brian, moving along, because you have a bunch of things you need to get to today. The tariffs. We're coming to a decision on Chinese tariffs. A lot of people don't know anything about these tariffs. What's going on?
All right. So back a couple years ago, Donald Trump was president. We knew, and he knew, of course, that China was stealing a bunch of our stuff from our companies, from our universities. And so he slapped on tariffs, about 25% tariffs on lots of different goods, Chinese electronics, for instance. Well, the problem, of course, was that a lot of our companies don't want those tariffs. They want cheaper Chinese products. So they've been lobbying really heavy to get rid of those tariffs. Well, Biden's been considering it. His team has been considering it. And they were actually leaning towards removing those tariffs. But Nancy Pelosi went to Taiwan. Beijing got very angry. Lots of war games. Of course, we all saw the missiles and the jets and the boats floating around Taiwan from Beijing trying to play out a war game, what would happen if they invaded Taiwan. Well, now that has put the Biden team in a little bit of a pickle, because if they remove those tariffs, it looks like we are basically capitulating to China. It looks like we've given them something to say, hey, we're sorry for Pelosi's visit Let's reduce these tariffs because it's good for you, China. Helps your companies import more stuff into this nation. So Biden's team, as of this morning and this day, I should say, are very much concerned about, you know, removing these tariffs because of that issue. We'll see what Biden does. He hasn't made up his mind, but we are now looking at no removal of tariffs.
All right. Ukraine. We're sending more money to Ukraine. And the reason I ask about this is I know electricity prices are going through the roof in Europe. There's a ton going on here, and I feel like a lot of it's tied together, and I feel like you'll know what that is. What's going on?
Okay, so you and I and every other taxpayer in this country are propping up Ukraine to, in order to function, to pay its salaries of its government workers, its pension, all the social programs, because clearly they're not pulling in a lot of tax revenue these days with Russia invading the country. So just last week, our U.S. Aid department sent around $3 billion to Ukraine to help offset this lack of revenue. In other words, their deficit. So we, of course, are engaged in our own deficit spending. We've got about $30 trillion in overall national debt. So what we are doing, in effect, is we are issuing debt in order to pay for their debt. Whether or not that makes sense, whether or not we will ultimately have to pay for that, which we will, either by lower spending in this country or higher taxes to pay off all of this stuff. The bottom line is you can be for Ukraine and for the people standing up to Russian aggression, but just understand that the cost here is massive, to include at least $3 billion this month. We're looking at another $1.5 trillion, or I should say billion, next month. Again, to offset the deficit that Ukraine is experiencing, because they're just not collecting the tax dollars. So that's what you're spending today, is your taxpayer dollars going to Ukraine to help prop up their deficit issue.
Brian, I have to ask, and I know this sounds a little cold-hearted, but I'm a jerk anyway. Are we going to get anything back for this? I mean, eventually, let's say Ukraine pulls it off and they throw off the Russian menace and they go back to running things the way they were running things, and woohoo, we all feel good about that. That's good. What are we going to get in return?
Well, I'm going to imagine some hugs, some thumbs up, some thank you notes. But that's going to be about it. We will get very little out of our investment, other than we will be able to stand up on the Hill and say we are a shining light of freedom, et cetera, et cetera. So there you go. But maybe some of our rich elites will make some money off of it. I'm sure that would never happen. But hypothetically, there might be a few Americans that could benefit from this big largesse going to Ukraine.
All right. Finally, well, maybe not finally. I may have a couple more for you. Why are electricity prices so high in Europe? I keep seeing all these scare charts. Every morning I wake up and I look at the electricity prices in Germany and I think to myself, it's not even September yet. That's not good.
Yeah, glad we don't live there. I'll tell you, so there are lots of different reasons for it, but prices for energy in Europe have broken records, up 500% just in the past year. So different reasons for that. Natural gas, that's a big one, of course. Normally comes from Russia, down to 20% of normal. So that's squeezing a lot of these natural gas electricity plants. But it's not just that. France, they usually are a net exporter of energy from their big nuclear plants, but that's not happening. They're taking a lot of those offline for maintenance. And also, because of the high heat this summer, they've had to take a lot of these plants off of line. They're very sensitive when it starts getting above well over 105 degrees. The big other piece that lots of folks aren't talking about, actually two. One, the Rhine River in Germany. Now, that's usually something that allows a lot of coal, for instance, to traverse up and down, a lot of fuel as well. But the Rhine River has dropped in terms of its overall levels of, you know, because of this drought. And so fewer ships can actually go through. And that means they're having to put a lot more coal and other fuel onto roads and rail. That's a lot more expensive, and you can't move as much as fast. So that's pushing up energy prices. And then finally, oh dear, Germany and others have gone so heavy and hard into green energy, wind in particular. Turns out this summer, the wind isn't blowing as hard. So that means that the turbines aren't spinning. And that, of course, means not as much electricity. So all in all, Europe has a disastrous energy supply or issue on their hands. That's bad for us because we export a whole bunch of our stuff to them. So if their economy goes in the crapper, R does too. So that's the issue that we are all facing, not just in Europe, but in fact here too.
Good grief. I find it hilarious when it's hot and you need air conditioning, the nuclear power plants don't work. Brian Dean Wright, the President's Daily Brief. Thank you, my friend.
As always.
All right. We have COVID communism talk next. I'm not going to get upset. I'm going to try not to get upset. Just bear with me. Before we get to that, let's ask real quickly, are you stuck in a timeshare? If you're not, don't worry about it. Good. Good for you. If you are, probably hurts to pay those annual fees, doesn't it? Special assessments. You don't use it anymore. You don't want it anymore. You've tried to get out of your timeshare, but they won't let you out of your timeshare. You're one phone call away from actually getting out, right? You know that, right? Lone Star Transfer has an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau for a reason. Family company. They've helped 16,000 people get out of their timeshare. They guarantee it. They guarantee it in writing and in a specific time frame. They guarantee it. And the call, the no obligation consultation, it's free. Doesn't cost you a dime. 844-310-2646. 844-310-2646. Or go to LoneStarTransfer.com. You are not stuck in your timeshare. Make a call. We'll be back. Jill Biden has COVID, which that's a big deal. Everyone was talking about it when Joe Biden got COVID like 19 times. Shouldn't we be more concerned that now President Biden has come down with COVID as well? And look, it's not a surprise that Jill would end up getting COVID. I mean, after all, we were told forever that masks work, right? The masks are going to stop the spread. They're going to slow the spread. Wear your mask. Aren't you worried about Grandma? Apparently nobody told old Papa Joe. How great is that? Anyway, wear your mask. All right, I don't care that Jill Biden has COVID, nor should you. Why? Because COVID's not a serious disease. Jill Biden's going to be totally fine. I'm tired of having to pretend that this is some horrible, deadly illness that's going to kill us all. Kills very old, very vulnerable people, very fat people, and everyone else is going to be just fine. Jill Biden's going to be just fine. I'd like to focus on something more important when it comes to COVID, though, because there's something happening right now. And it was inevitable, especially in this day and age of social media, where there aren't just three media networks. There are all these social media companies. So many people can put things up online. The real cost of what they've done to us with COVID lockdowns, the cost of what they've done to us by forcing people to take that jab, it's starting to come out. I mean, how many times have we had Dr. Naomi Wolf on the show already explaining things like 44% miscarriage rate for women, vaccinated women who got the jab? You can't keep those numbers quiet. We're hearing from insurance companies now a 40% increase in deaths of 18 to 49 year olds. You can't hide things like that. When people are dying like this in these kind of numbers, you can't hide them. And the system knows that. So they're now going to attempt to censor you, shame you, shut you up, while at the same time doing very benign sounding things like, oh, the CDC is going to reform some things. Rochelle Walensky's definitely, she announced today, they're gonna be some reforms at the CDC so they can be more transparent and things like that. But that's the problem. That's not even close to good enough when you're talking to a parent who just lost their baby. That's not even close to good enough. When you're talking to a parent who may be about to leave this earth because their lungs and heart don't work anymore, that's not good enough. When you're talking to somebody who owns a business or owned a business and now they don't anymore because of lockdowns, that's not good enough. When you're talking to somebody who couldn't have a funeral for their mother or father, it's not good enough. None of this is good enough. Biden's new COVID advisor, Dr. Jaw, coming out now and basically admitting, hey, the science has been updated and we were wrong about everything. This isn't good enough.
We used to spend a lot of time talking about 6 feet of distance, 15 minutes of being together. You know, we realized that's actually not the right way to think about this. That's not the the kind of the most accurate way to think about this.
Okay, it's not the most accurate way to think about this. He feels bad. Didn't you hear how bad he feels? We were thinking about this wrong. You were thinking about this wrong? Don't you think you should be 100% certain on the validity of your suggestions before you start ruining people's lives? You know what I'm looking at right here in front of me? I can't pull them up for you because the email addresses will show you. You know what I'm looking at here? Let me grab this for you. You know what this is? This is the email stack I have received of people who've had their lives upended, ruined, and in some cases ended by COVID lockdown policies. And this isn't even close to all the ones I have. I save them. People email them into my show. I'm looking at stories that would break your heart. If I took the rest of this show right now and I went through and I read these stories about mom, sister, lost my daughter to an overdose, if I read you these stories, you would cry. I don't care how hardened you are, you would cry if I took the rest of the show reading these stories. So no, you don't get to go up now and say, hey, whoops, that's not good enough. No, people must be arrested, not fired, not resigned, not shamed. People have to be placed in handcuffs. They deserve a fair trial. That fair trial should be publicized. It should be on television so every American citizen who's been wronged can see an open process, make sure these aren't political prosecutions, and if found guilty, and virtually all of them would be found guilty of crimes against humanity, these people have to disappear in a federal prison for the rest of their lives. Oh, and by the way, don't you dare let them get away with the, wow, we just figured out that social distancing stuff is stupid. We have this guy, Scott Gottlieb, he's an idiot too, but he was on TV a year ago basically admitting they just made the whole thing up.
And you're right, the 6 feet was arbitrary.
The 6 feet was arbitrary in and of itself. Patients, nobody knows where it came from. Most people assume that the 6 feet of distance, the recommendation for keeping 6 feet apart, comes out of some old studies related to flu, where droplets don't travel more than 6 feet. We now know COVID spreads through aerosols. The initial recommendation that the CDC brought to the White House, and I talk about this, was 10 feet. And a political appointee in the White House said, we can't recommend 10 feet. Nobody can measure 10 feet. It's inoperable. Society will shut down. So the compromise was around 6 feet.
Nobody knew where it came from? 57 years. Wrap your mind around how long that is. I know somebody who had to close his business, and it was a family business that had been open for 57 years. And that business is now gone. I can still remember the night I talked to him on the phone, and I remember this guy, not exactly the emotional type, I remember hearing him sob in my ear on the phone about the heartbreak of not being able to keep open the business his father had passed down to him, one that he had made thrive. And you don't want to know why that guy lost his business of 57 years? It's because of the 6 foot social distancing requirement that reduced the number of customers he was allowed to have in his business, and he couldn't make ends meet, and he had to close it down, and they don't even know where the 6 feet number came from. So, no, sorry's not okay. It's not near enough. In fact, they're not even saying sorry. They don't even respect us enough to give us sorry. We get the, hey, we're changing some things, just making some edits. We're updating things. The science has changed. No, these people should be afraid. They should be afraid of spending the rest of their lives in Fort Leavenworth, and that they're not is a national disgrace. All right, that was heavy enough. We're gonna go do some lighten the mood. Before we do lighten the mood, let's talk about something else. Let's talk about the fact virtually every economic indicator right now tells us we are in the beginning stages of a severe economic problem. How severe? Nobody knows. I talk to guys who agree with me that it is going to be Great Depression level stuff. I talk to guys who say, no, it'll just be a very deep recession. That's the best I've heard, a very deep recession. You think it's bad now? Worse is coming. Do you have gold? Do you have gold coins? Oxford Gold Group will deliver gold coins to your front door. Believe me, a piece of paper saying you own some gold somewhere is not good enough. Do you have gold in your physical possession? Now is the time. 833-995-GOLD. Tell Oxford Jesse told you to call. Get some gold in your possession. 833-995-GOLD. We'll be back. There are so many talented, clever people out there. And one of the things I've always loved since I was a kid, I've always loved and admired the people who can do amazing impressions of other people. I think about people like Dana Carvey. I remember watching Dana Carvey on TV do his George Bush impressions, and I would laugh and freaking laugh. And Michael Myers and Frank Caliendo, all these great guys who do impressions. I about wet myself when I watched this lady do her Kamala Harris impression. Oh my gosh, we're gonna get to that in just a second. I'll play the whole thing for you. Before we get to that, let's do a little housekeeping. Some real housekeeping, actually. Your house. If you like it, you want to keep it, you should have signed up for Home Title Lock by now if you want to keep it. You see, home title theft, it's not only sweeping the country, people don't even know it exists. They don't know what it is. To be fair, I'm not poking fun at anybody. I didn't know what it was until I opened up my email one day and I'm staring at my home title with my signature and my wife's signature on it. It looked perfect, by the way, perfect signatures. They hack into your title, go take loans out against your home. They'll wipe you out, they'll evict you from your house. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and sign up so it does not happen to you. HomeTitleLock.com, all right? All right, without further ado, one of the great impressions I've ever seen of Vice President Dome.
Hello, America. You don't have to clap.
What are you clapping?
Okay. With the exploration of space having been defined in the 21st century, we know then what we know now, and what we know now is absolutely nothing. We also know, living in this century, we know that the definitions from the last centuries of where we stand and where we go have to be the same definition of opportunity. Yeah. Opportunity. Well, it was defined in the 20th century. Very good definition. Webster's Dictionary. Yeah, we had some good memories. Past becomes future, and future becomes present. And when you really think about that, it makes sense when you actually rearrange the words.
That's so good. She even had the facial expressions. All right. I'll see you tomorrow.
Each morning, the President of the United States receives a highly classified briefing on the most important issues facing the country. It's called the President's Daily Brief, or PDB. It's delivered by America's spies and analysts. Well, now you can hear your very own PDB. In the form of a podcast hosted by me, Brian Dean Wright, a former CIA operations officer. Each morning at 6 a.m. Eastern, I'll bring you 15 to 20 minutes of the most important issues facing the country, giving you the critical intelligence and analysis you need to start your morning.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Ben Ferguson.
And I'm Ted Cruz. Three times a week, we do our podcast, Verdict with Ted Cruz.
Nationwide, we have millions of listeners.
Every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we break down the news and bring you behind the scenes, inside the White House, inside the Senate, inside the United States Supreme Court.
And we cover the stories that you're not getting anywhere else.
We arm you with the facts to be able to know and advocate for the truth with your friends and family.
So download Verdict with Ted Cruz now, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.